She was singing of the Guru's Prasad. That means the gift of the Guru. And what is the gift of the Guru? That can mean so much depending on where you are in your own evolution. But the essence of the Guru is truth, freedom, silence, consciousness, the gift to take you beyond your identification with your suffering mind that is always fighting, always complaining, always judging, always comparing, that will never give you peace, that always expects dreams, fantasize. That is the gift. But that gift you cannot be able to receive if you are not open. So it all depends on the disciple, because it is the nature of the Guru to give effortlessly. But you have to empty yourself. The disciple have to empty herself of all the falseness, all the illusions, all the mind games, all the hurt, all the problems. Which seems to be very, very hard because you are so identified with it. You had all these things so long. So that makes up your identity, your ego, your personality. Losing all that, then who are you? That's the courage to look at oneself beyond your identity. My beloved Guruji, I read that today is Guru Purnima Day, a day to honor and to thank the Guru. As I think of you, tears fall down my eyes, and it's impossible to put into words what you mean to me. My heart explodes in gratitude and love. I just have to say thank you, beloved. I love you, yours, Suriti. Yes, today is Guru Purnima. And you read about Guru Purnima because I have introduced you to all these nice things. Who knows about Guru Purnima? Who knows about disciplehood? Who knows about meditation? Who knows about silence? It's a totally new thing in the West. But in the East, and especially in India, it's been for thousands of years. And it's the most precious day. Because whatever you are occupied with in life is just dreams. And the Guru reminds you of the essence. And in the West is a totally unknown this dimension of disciplehood, of Guru, of meditation as such. The West has been lost in the outside. They don't know about the inner world. And that's why more and more people are lost. Because we have forgotten what is real. And when you live in the falls, you can never find peace. And now the world lives only on the surface. That's the majority of people. They live only on the surface. They are only identified and occupied with the image, with the body, with the dreams, with the surface, which will go. So that's why the Guru is totally misunderstood. In fact, nobody knows about that gratitude that the East India has towards the Guru. It's the most lucky thing, the most fortunate thing that can happen. But remember, it's not the Guru. The Guru doesn't do anything. He's just available. It is all up to the disciple. How available he is, she is. How receptive. How open. How thirsty. Yes, today is Guru Purnima, a day to honor and thank the Guru. But for a true disciple, for a true devotee, you always thank the Guru. Then you are safe. Of course, like everything else, there's different steps. First, nobody has heard about the truth. Nobody has heard about meditation. You haven't heard about the guru. So first you have to have some kind of interest or stumble over it. So you have read it. Your mind gets interested. What is this? That is the first. True hearing, true reading. Then the mind gets interested. The second is to listen. Really listen what the guru says. That's going to be a challenge because you're full of your own thoughts. And to really take in what the guru says, you have to empty your own thoughts. So you can come back to your own clarity. That is much deeper than just hearing, than reading. No, you have to fall in tune. Even the mind starts accepting the truth. The deeper you go, the more the mind, which is fighting, resisting, judging, katating in the beginning, it starts accepting. Then by listening means that no, you allow the truth to enter. There's less resistance. And when the truth enters, it transforms you, it starts transforming you. It starts bringing you in to your heart, which is much deeper than just listening, than just hearing, than just thinking. Now you start touching your own heart. And that is absolutely must. The guru has to awaken the heart. Because only through the heart will you gain freedom. Will you come back to yourself? And it is amazing, but one can live the whole life without touching the heart. That is the norm, to live just in the head. When you start awakening the heart of wisdom, your own being, then a whole new world starts appearing. A totally new dimension. Now, out of this awakening of your own heart, you will feel gratitude. Of course, because you have been dry. This is the beginning of devotion, of thanking the guru, of honoring the guru. You cannot do that. That is just from the surface you can also do, which many people do. They can bow down, they can praise, they can sing song, but the heart, if that is not awakened, is just empty, it's just dry. And if your own wisdom heart has been ignited by coming closer, by that love towards the guru, then you will just be grateful. It's nothing you do, you just bow down. Devotion is real gratitude, gratefulness. That's why very few people have touched devotion And they totally miss out of living a life of gratefulness. So that's why in the East always the guru has been the highest. Even kings come to the guru, because he can bring you back, awaken that sleeping heart and soul, which then sees through all the falseness, all the games. If that is not awakened, you will still live in the games, in the dreams, in the illusions, in the fight. No, you don't need to think about it, to read about it. No, it's your own experience. You have felt it. No, the next is to be established in that. Established in your own peace, in your own truth, in your own heart, in your own being. No, there is no more doubt. No, there is total trust in the master, in the guru. There is no more fighting. Because you know that without the guru, you wouldn't have seen. So you give up, you surrender, you let go. Even your own mind, your own intelligence knows it. Then it becomes peace. It's not any trace of resistance anymore. No, you start, the disciples start living very much in tune with the master. Closer and closer. And the next is realizing that there is no separation. And that is the whole work of the guru, to bring you back to yourself. The outer guru is only there to lead you back to your own inner guru, which is in everyone, which is everything. But the lost one, the seeker, having forgotten that, you need guidance. Resisting that guidance doesn't make any sense. It just shows that one is not the disciple, one is not the true seeker. If there is a true seeker, if it's a true disciple, then it's very easy. That's why all the gurus say you have to trust the guru more than you trust yourself. Because the guru knows, and its disciple doesn't know. The disciple wants to know, but to get that self-knowledge, you have to let go of your false idea, which the disciple is still clinging to. So it's a very delicate game. It's a paradox. One side, the guru has to support you, love you, help you. And on the other side, he has to challenge you, annoy you. Because he has to bring up all that which is unconscious in the disciple, which is very painful to look at. And if there is no trust, if there is no love, then you don't have the courage to go beyond your own limitation. You will stop. But if the love is strong, if the trust has started appearing, then you know your own inner self knows that this is the right. And that is the whole game with the guru and the disciple. That again and again you have to go beyond your own understanding into the unknown. And that is impossible if the trust is not there. My beloved Guru, I read that today is Guru Purnima Day. Every day for the true disciple is Guru Purnima Day. That's the good news. But then not everybody is a true disciple. So then at least one Guru Purnima Day. Just like Christmas. Many times I tell you, Babaji, every day is Christmas. Every day is Christmas. Every day is Guru Purnima Day. But people fall asleep, they forget. But at least in India, in Nepal, in these places, you have Guru Purnima, just like Christmas. In fact, they don't have Christmas, but they have Guru Purnima Day, which is much more valuable because it's real. They can relate to it. It is an alive Jesus they have in the Guru. So the whole country has accepted that. Look then in comparison how dry the West is. They have missed out on that whole dimension. They just have become big heads. So shallow. At least in India still you have that this is what is real. It's not how you look like, it's not what you do in life, it's not what you do, but it is your inner self. So that's why also no, since it is Guru Purnima, even I remembered, then I had an excuse to come and talk to you then. As I think of you, tears fall down my eyes and it's impossible to put into words what you mean to me. Yes, that is how it is for a disciple. Because it goes beyond any words. It goes beyond anything that you have gotten from life. The most important is the master. That's the most important that can happen in your life. Because in that way you can come back to yourself. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't met my master. So I'm a proof. It's not something I think about or have read. It's my own experience. I know it. And I live it. My heart explodes in gratitude and love. Yes, let it explode. That is the courage. And that's the whole difference. Most people, the heart just becomes like a prune, like a stone. It dries up. Maybe they have a big, fat image and ego, but the heart is just dry. or it can be so juicy that it explodes. I just have to say thank you, beloved. Yes, this thank you, that is the only thing, the only prayer anybody needs. There's nothing else to say or do. Thank you means that you have received. And some people, it's so hard even to say thank you in your ordinary life. You never get that with what you want. And you have so many ideas what you want that is going to make you happy. But it's all material things. But with the Guru, with your own heart, when that is ignited, then a thank you come up, because you have gotten such a precious gift that is more value than anything. Anything in this world, because it's real. And that which is real is always there. And that which is false will disappear. So find that which is real. That is the ones who are lucky. Yeah? You find that which is real. And when you have that which is real, it gives you peace. Otherwise, you will be restless. And that's why everybody is restless. Everybody is tense. Everybody gets bored. Everybody has to be occupied. The new generation, or they live, they don't know anything is happening. I have seen YouTube videos. They go on the cell phone looking, and they go straight down the ditch. Many. That is very fun to look at. The cell phone is not the fun. But you look at the YouTube and the people with the cell phone, when they fall down into the holes, in the street also, they go, and then it's an open thing, they work, and then they fall down because they don't know where they are. In the shopping mall also I saw, then they come walking like, and then they go straight into the water fountain and fall in there. It's never been like this. They have to check every second minute. They have to check. How can they ever find themselves? It's impossible. And you can laugh about it, but you are the same in different degrees. It's so much to do outside that you forget what is real. And it's non-ending. And it's always somewhere to go, something to become, instead of just resting into what is. So that's how a disciple should be, Suvirti. That the heart explodes in gratitude, Lord, because you have received something. And the Guru is there to ignite the heart into the dimension of love, of trust, of freedom. That's why it's not so easy. Just to get a new name doesn't mean that you're a disciple. It's just the beginning to disciplehood. I thought there would just be a few people, but I see all kinds of friends. You know. That's pretty cozy, you know. Madhumane is in Georgia, Mukunda, oh my God. Safia, oh my God. All kinds of Italians and Dutch and Brazilians, Americans, oh my God. That's how the guru always is like the honey. It's the flower, and all the bees, they are coming. They can't do anything. It's a must. Without the honey, the bee will die, no? And what better death than to die of honey? Let's drown in honey, no? I will try to read you something that my master said. What is the guru-disciple relationship? Osho says, first of all, a guru is not a teacher. A guru is a person who has attained to a religious mode of living. Religion is not information. It cannot be taught, because religion, true religion, is a way of living. The presence of the guru is a communion. And to one living in contact with him, something is communicated. Though not through words, the relationship between a true disciple and the guru is so intimate that it is less like a teacher and a pupil and more like a lover and beloved. And that's why all the Sufis like Rumi, Hafiz, the Bhaktis, they talk about the lover and the beloved. Only the lover can meet the beloved. And in this physical world, then the lover and the beloved, love as such, is the highest. But the love beyond, between the guru and the disciple goes beyond, is the highest love. Because it goes beyond the physical. The guru must himself be enlightened. He must himself have attained. Because one cannot communicate that which one has not realized. So a teacher can talk about the truth, about yoga, about tantra, about spiritual discipline, about meditation. And many times better than the enlightened one. Because he is more simple, maybe not so educated. So the masses always get tricked. They listen to those who can write books, who can speak very well. Many enlightened ones, they are not even interested to talk. In fact, I don't think any enlightened one is interested in talk. It's just in case somebody is there who is ready to be ignited, they have to share it. Maybe. A religious experience, religion, can only be communicated when it is firsthand. A teacher need not be self-realized, but the guru must be. A teacher can give second-hand information from scriptures or traditions, but the guru cannot. A guru is a person who has realized truth. Now, he himself is the original source. He himself has encountered reality. He is face to face with it. And the disciple comes in contact with the first-hand knowing, because what whatsoever is said or communicated to him by the guru is on his own authority. It's something that nobody who hasn't had the experience can understand. The Tibetans, the Indians, they say that Guru Yoga is the highest yoga, is the essence of all yogas. When you are finished with all the different parts, the techniques, then that is the easiest and the most direct and the quickest. But the disciple has to be ready, because it cuts through everything. In fact, No discipline is needed, no technique is needed, if you can really drink the master. Then that nectar will come in you and transform you by itself. That's how truth works. It's effortless because it's already there. It just has to be ignited, to be woken up. Secondly, a guru is not aware of his guruship. He cannot be. A guru cannot claim that he is a guru. There is no claim like that. A person can only know whether or not he has fulfilled the conditions of egolessness. Otherwise, he cannot account the truth. Truth is only encountered when the ego is absolutely absent. And that's another reason why it's so difficult or impossible for somebody to understand that which is beyond the ego when you live in the ego. You will always project even on the enlightened one, even on the guru, because that is the nature of the mind, of the ego. You have to project because you are false. And the truth is shocking. It will burn you. It will challenge you. The only way is to transform, to grow, to wake up. And if you are not ready for that, then it will be hard. Truth is encountered only when the ego is absolutely absent. And when that has happened, that encounter with truth, with reality, then that trust, that intimacy, intimate love with the master happens spontaneously. Because it's now is your own proof what the guru have been trying to tell you, to show you, to hint that you have experienced it. Now there is no more doubt. And then devotion happens by itself. Love happens by itself. Understanding happens by itself because it's your own realization. You cannot understand something before it has happened to you. And then also it's impossible to talk about it because it goes beyond any words. It's an inner realization. But you have always people who is fighting the truth, fighting the guru. Of course, because the guru, the doors are open. So you will always have people who are not ready to transform. Who are not ready to receive the gift. Which is amazing. Because that's what everybody wants. And such a little price to pay. Just your false ego. But no. Only that false ego that has given you so much suffering. That's the only price. But no, I want to keep it. No, Mudita is laughing now. You see the nonsense of it. Yeah, you see it now in satsang, but otherwise, it's such an old friend. So if there is no a deep love, a deep trust in the master, it cannot happen. What you say, I always say that in religion, in spirituality, only disciple exists. Because the guru is not present. He is only a presence. And this is another thing that is totally impossible for ego to understand, because the ego is just the form, is just the identity, which is false in the eyes of the guru. He has gone beyond form. Disciple projects on the form. So the disciple exists. The disciple has to grow, to struggle, to transform. The guru doesn't do anything. He's just available as a presence. But, of course, the poor disciple doesn't understand that. So then the guru, out of his compassion, comes down and talks a language that the disciple can understand, which is very difficult because it's much more dense. You have to try to make the understanding through the mind, because the heart is not awakened enough to see the guru. The consciousness is not enough. The trust is not enough. The love is not enough. The devotion is not enough. Then you have to talk. Then you have to go through. Only the disciple has to work. The master doesn't have anything to work. Or the only work is to work on the disciple. The guru is only a presence. He is very non-claiming. His non-egoistic, non-teaching attitude and his living the truth are the communion. So a person who claims to be a guru is only a teacher. He is not a guru. There is no word in English to translate the word guru, because the relationship between the guru and the disciple is basically Eastern. No such relationship has ever existed in the Western culture and tradition. So no one in the West can understand what the guru is. At the most, they can understand where the teacher is. The relationship between the guru and the disciple is so intimate. It is like love. It is love. The reverence that is felt is like love. But with one difference, love is parallel, and reverence is for one who is above, one who is higher. Love creates friendship because the lover and the low one are on the same level. And this is where somebody really goes wrong, because of the guru just gives love. The guru is love. But if the disciple is still stuck on a lower love and an emotional love, then that's the only love she will know about. But you have to rise into a spiritual love. So it's a trick of the ego. You see the guru as love, like you are love, and is a love. But you are even then. You don't need to change because you are even. In that love, one gets hurt. In the spiritual love that the guru wants to show you, you have to rise above any emotional love into your wisdom heart, which is beyond. Love creates friendship, and love creates the strongest friendship. In a normal human world, relationship is the strongest. But that doesn't mean that it's something higher. It is something higher, but very few people experience that. Love creates friendship because the lover and the loved one are on the same level. So, that love that the guru gives can also be like a lullaby. You just rest in that love. You have to rise. And that's where the reverence comes in. If there's no reverence in that love, you will be stuck. You have to rise. And for the ego, it's always hard to see something that is higher than you. It's painful for the ego. In fact, you want to destroy it. Reverence, too, is a kind of love, but with a great difference. It's not on the same level. One person is higher. If there is a loving intimacy with the higher personality, like between the disciple and the guru, reverence is created. And reverence is automatically created around the guru. But this is not expected and is not demanded. The guru doesn't demand or expect anything. This is just something that is happening over the spiritual law, the law of love. If you surrender, if you understand, if you evolve, this will happen out of itself. It's a non-doing. But one has to go beyond the confinement of the ego. Otherwise, it won't be revealed. The ego is like a China wall. And as soon as it's revealed, then everything is clear. There is no more fighting. And that's why the gurus, the real gurus, really, they don't have any teaching. They are just available. And they don't demand anything. They don't have any rules. They don't have any 10 commandments. They don't have any expectations. No, nothing. Everything is on the disciple. Aum Shanti. Guru Purnima. Guru means remover of darkness. The disciple is lost in ignorance, in darkness. The guru is light, the remover of darkness. But the amazing thing is that human beings they can resist, they can cling to the darkness. Just let go, open up, see things as they are, and light will come effortlessly. Another meaning of the guru is heavy. Heavy in the way that the cloud is heavy. And remember now, in July, where this Guru Purnami come from India, is the rainy season. So you have dark clouds. And they've been waiting. 6 months they've been waiting for the rain. Because rain, water, gives life. And the whole earth is dry. It's like a desert. And then the rain comes. And everything becomes green. And life comes. So this is another meaning of the Guru. He gives life, greenery. Jai Guru Dev.
Charanam par sumana shraddha ke arpit hai tere hi din hai jo hai
So today is Guru Purnima and it's full moon in the month of July. So the good thing is it's also a little cloudy here, maybe a little rain, and then before you know it, the moon comes out. That's another symbol, no? In the dark night, the clouds. But beyond the clouds is the full moon, no? Remember, full moon is there. Sat. Sat-Nam-Asi-Di-Vai-Guru
Sat Nam Sri Vaheguru. Sat Nam. परमात्मा अमर है, जिदे अंग संग प्रभु है, ओनु फेर किस दा डर है।
सत्य नाम श्री वाहे गुरु, सत्य नाम श्री वाहे गुरु, सत्य नाम श्री वाहे गुरु, सत्य नाम
परवा